This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We'll get more into reverse engineering as we go along, but we've got this new book from Preston Dennett, Humanoids and High Strangeness, 20 True UFO Encounters. Preston, how did you look to find the cases you put together for this book?
Yeah, well, really, there's no shortage of cases. I've talked to hundreds of people, and there's a lot of accounts. I've always got more stories than I can use for any book. People contact me through a variety of ways. They might hear me on, you know, a podcast like yours, contact me that way, or read one of my books, or see me on TV. I was not too long ago on Ancient Aliens and The Unexplained and other shows. Or I get some through just family referrals. People contact me a number of different ways. And the stories that are in this book, it's all got the theme of course, humanoids. Each chapter focuses on a first-hand case of people who've met humanoids of some kind. And I really wanted to embrace the entire contact experience, which is deeply connected, integrally connected to the paranormal and high strangeness of all kinds. And I think that often gets edited out of the folks who are very nuts and bolts and want to just try to prove this phenomena. I think we're past that. I think we have enough evidence to prove that this is real, and it's time to really embrace the whole phenomena in its totality. So that's what I'm trying to do, show people how many different types of humanoids there are and cases from all over the world. I'm pretty excited about that. So I've got cases from Canada, South America, there's a case in, Peru and Argentina, a case in England, France, Germany, and so forth. So I think that's important. And, just let people know that this is far more common than most people realize. And I wanted to pick cases that are particularly credible, multiple witness cases or cases that have some sort of evidence to support them, or unique in some way, have something to contribute to our understanding of the phenomena, or really show what it's like to have ET contact in some way.
Tim?
With all these cases that you have in this book, and there's some really fascinating cases on here, I suppose the thing that always stands out to me about a lot of them is the different kinds of beings that are seen. There are some similarities in a lot of these cases, but there are some major differences as well. I mean, what do you think the reason for that is?
Yeah, that's one of the things I really wanted to dig into. And what I find super interesting is when we're talking about people seeing or having direct contact with extraterrestrials, it does always seem to be humanoids, your basic bipedal humanoid form, two arms, two legs, a head, eyes, nose, mouth, and so forth. That, I think, has profound implications, but there is a huge variety. It's not just grays, which are get so much attention. I've got cases that involve grays of all types, certainly, but human-looking ETs, little blue beings, praying mantis. And there's one case involving a short, little, hairy dwarf. Another involving perhaps not an ET at all. The gentleman swears up and down that he saw something more akin to an elf or a gnome, a crypto-terrestrial, if you will, because there was no UFO involved. So there's a lot more to this. A lot of stuff gets put under the UFO umbrella that might not belong there. But yeah, huge variety of humanoids. And I'll lump into that, you know, angelic sightings, demonic sightings, Bigfoot sightings, ghost sightings, because that seems to be part of this phenomena. It's a rare contactee that doesn't have, say, past life recall or astral projection or precognition or channeling or psychic reading, seeing shadow people, mediumship, healing. Healing is definitely a big part of this. So this is all connected in some way that I think we need to take a deeper look at.
It always makes me think about Travis Walton when he talks about the time that he spent inside the craft. And, you know, he was first greeted by the little blue guys. And he didn't react so well to them. And they went away to be replaced by humanoids. And he speculated that these might be the same things, just shape-shifted or used the glamour on him to make him see something that was more comfortable to him, to calm him down. In the cases that you've researched, I mean, have you found similar types of situations?
Well, certainly there are cases involving what we would call screen memories. And I would point to little children who have art grays coming into the room, but they're perhaps dressed up as clowns or appearing as teddy bears or owls or, I mean, all manner. I've heard a gamut of what I would call screen memories, superheroes, Barbie dolls, this sort of thing. But I think we have enough reports of grays stretching back decades, coming from all over the world, from people who don't know each other, and are very consistent in their description, that we can say that people are seeing grays. And, for that matter, the other types that I mentioned, humanoids, human-looking ETs, I would hesitate to say that these are all one type or another. I think, actually, in a way, it's a misnomer to call them different species, because if you listen to the contactees who are asking about this, they're being told the same message, which is that we all share a common heritage, that the grays are, in essence, human, sharing our genetics, but just dialing out a little differently, or perhaps suffering from genetic damage of some kind. And that would make sense, certainly, because we do have reports of hybridizing and half-human, half-gray babies and this sort of thing. I do think our relationship to them is probably much closer than we realize, if there truly are human-looking ETs out there that look just like us. And I think there are. That does raise serious implications about human origins and our relationship to these guys. You know, where do we come from if there are human-looking ETs flying around in UFO craft coming from presumably other planets? And I think probably that's where they are coming from. I know there's theories floating around that this is an interdimensional phenomenon, wearing different masks and masquerading as this or that, Bigfoot, ghosts, what have you. I don't find the evidence for that compelling. I think if you look at the totality of the evidence, it speaks very strongly towards this being extraterrestrials, biological beings, people like us, a little different certainly, but certainly not from Earth.
The question I always have about this, though, when people describe these creatures and their experiences, are they telling something that really happened? Are they interpreting something strange in a way they do understand? Or are they being manipulated by whatever forces involved out there to see this? They see humanoids because that's the popular culture with the gray aliens and things. I mean, even the creature, when the helmet was taken off in Earth versus the Flying Saucers, the creature inside looked like a gray alien, if you recall the film. And that goes back to, what, 1956? So is that tradition real? a cultural influence, what is it? We'll ask more about this with Preston. Gene and Tim, you're in
the Pedicast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Did you get a call or message that mentioned Social Security that made you feel threatened or scared? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, press you for personal information, or demand instant payment. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Don't fall for it. Hang up, ignore them. Report this criminal activity to oig.ssa.gov.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So Preston, what do you think? Are they seeing what's really there? Are they interpreting something? Are they being manipulated? How do we know?
Well, it's a great question, because I think there is good evidence that a person's belief system does influence their perception, and we can see this throughout history. Shoot, I've interviewed people who were certain they saw a demonic being, and as they describe what they saw, it's clearly a gray. So that is absolutely undeniable that our beliefs are playing a certain role here, and I think that's true culturally going back throughout history. However, it's hard for me to walk away from the extraterrestrial explanation because I think we've got a pretty good handle on the fact that we ourselves are biological beings living on a planet in a universe that's filled with stars and other planets. And it's almost inescapable that there's got to be other people out there. I mean, this is a big universe. It makes perfect sense that there would be extraterrestrials. And when you have so many people reporting these metallic craft with portholes coming down and landing, burning the ground at 3,000 degrees and glassifying the sand and leaving pod marks and swirled grass, and people are not in their rooms when they're taken on board. Their families are looking for them. So this isn't a mental phenomena. It's physically happening. I mean, we know this because people are coming away from their experiences healed or sometimes injured. I think that that's much less common, but it does happen. And for that matter, there's the implant evidence. How would you explain that? And ultimately, I think if we can ever get our hands on these crashed UFOs and alien bodies, well, all bets are off. We know what it is because there's the craft. What more do you need? If you can't figure out what metal this is and how these craft fly, well, that's one thing. But they're clearly metallic. They're clearly craft. It's hard to walk away from at least some of these being extraterrestrials. I'm not going to say all, because I do think that there are what we would call supernatural beings of various types out there. I looked into the whole fairy lore of Ireland and Iceland and all of that, after having interviewed one gentleman who swears up and down he saw an elf. I was shocked to find out there are a lot of modern cases of this. In fact, after I put this book out, I've been contacted by about a dozen people who claim this same sort of experience. So perhaps not all of these are extraterrestrials, but it's hard for me to leave that theory behind. It best explains the totality of the evidence, hands down.
Of all the cases that have happened, how did you come to pick these ones?
Well, these are the ones that, you know, I have worked on most recently. These are the ones that I think are the most credible. Several have multiple witnesses or physical evidence. And like I said, I think they have something to say about who the ETs are, where they come from, their agenda on our planet, what it's like to have ET contact. I would point to one case, which I find super compelling because it does have multiple witnesses. A mother and son shared an encounter. This is in Ohio, and he was 7 years old. His name is Richard, and he was taken on board with his mother, Ines. And after this encounter, which they did recall under hypnosis, I normally don't rely on hypnosis for most of the cases in my books because it is controversial, though she had gone to a hypnotist to quit smoking and brought her son along because he was having insomnia, which he had suffered since age 7. So he was about 20 or so when he went to this hypnotist, and they both recalled being taken on board a craft. And afterwards, his mother, Ines, says, you know, it's strange, because at age 7, I had an encounter. And, of course, Richard grew up, had children, and his daughter was 7 years old when she came running up and pointed to the TV, which had a representation of a gray ET on the screen, and said, Daddy, Daddy, that's what's coming into my room and poking my nose. She was, at that time, suffering from unexplained severe nosebleeds. And even more interesting, she, of course, grew up recently, well, not so recently, but, you know, has children. Just recently, her child turned 7. And sure enough, same thing. She started complaining about the monkey man outside her window, the bald monkey man who came into her room and stood by her bed. She's 7 years old. So this is 4 generations of people who've had contact with apparently the same beings at age 7. Find that really compelling, and it shows how this is a generational phenomenon.
I have a quick question that occurs to me with the 7-year-old. Did the 7-year-old know of its parents' experiences before reporting this?
No, none of them knew. This was something Ines kept quiet about to her son, Richard kept quiet about to his daughter right down the line. No, they did not know. This was not something that was freely discussed among them. They kept quiet about it, as often does happen. That's, in fact, usually when someone contacts me, first words are out of their mouth is, I haven't told anyone about this, not even within my family. And they will say some caveat of, you know, I don't have mental illness in my family. I've got a good job. I'm well educated. I don't do drugs. These sort of things. Very emotional at times. Quite reserved about sharing their story because they don't want to be ridiculed. They don't want to be disbelieved. This keeps most people from telling their story at all. It's a lot more common than people realize. There was a quote years ago that I heard from J. Allen Hynek. It was quoted as saying that 1 in 40 people have been taken on board a craft. That was back in the late 1980s when I heard that. That's what really got me to start asking everyone I knew. I didn't have to ask 50 people. These were people within my own circle of family, friends, and coworkers. And it wasn't long after that, 1991, the Roper Organization, a polling organization, conducted a survey of thousands of people with hidden questions in them to determine if they might be contactees. And they basically found 1 in 50 people show the markers of being a UFO contactee.
When you say markers, Preston, what do you mean?
A very low-level UFO sighting with missing time, unexplained marks on the body, seeing balls of light, insomnia, unexplained nosebleeds, unexplained healings or injuries, dreams about UFOs, all the questions we as UFO researchers ask a person to determine if they are having contact.
Right, but when you say 1 in 50 or 1 in 40, we're talking what, tens of millions of people around the world have had some kind of contact experience. That would mean that basically ET's up all over the place there. You know, there are more ET's out there than airplanes.
Exactly. Well, I would point to MUFON and NUFORC. MUFON being the Mutual UFO Network, NUFORC the National UFO Reporting Center. If you look at their databases, they receive 10, 20 reports daily. Most people, 1 in 100, and I'm being generous, have reported their case to MUFON or NUFORC, or called the police or reported it in any official capacity. The vast majority of people keep silent. So let's say it's 1 in 10 reported, just to be nice. You could times the 20 reports that MUFON or NUFORC gets by 10. That would be 200 daily.
The book from Preston Dennett, Humanoids and High Strangeness. I'm Gene, he's Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. Tropical storm Ophelia is barreling across eastern North Carolina, packing top sustained winds of 45 miles an hour and bringing high gusts, coastal flooding, and life-threatening rip currents northward into New Jersey over the weekend. Forecasters predict 3 to 5 inches of rainfall across parts of eastern North Carolina and southeast Virginia Saturday night into Sunday morning. The White House is calling on Congress to avoid a governmental shutdown by passing funding legislation. Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre is urging House Republicans to honor the bipartisan agreement negotiated by Speaker McCarthy and President Biden. Congress must pass a funding bill by the end of this month to avoid a shutdown. And a capsule carrying rocky material from the surface of an asteroid is set to land tomorrow morning in the Utah desert. NASA says the robotic spacecraft OSIRIS-REx is on course for a fiery plunge through the atmosphere and a landing by parachute. The return of the sample taken 3 years ago from the asteroid Bennu will be the first for NASA. Skip Kelly, USA News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Hi, this is Tracy Torme, screenwriter, producer. You're listening to Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
I'll tell you something here. I am amongst the 49 or 39 people who have not had any such encounters. Let's put it there. I am either lucky or unlucky. So which group are you in, Preston? Have you had this kind of close encounter?
I hadn't until I started researching this. Turns out that is a thing. You start going out there, tromping through the fields and associating with a lot of contactees. That does increase your chances. Yeah, I did have contact, and I think pretty direct. It was in 1991, late July. I was driving home from my brother's house, Mark, who had seen a UFO, who did have an unexplained object in his arm, who did marry a lady who had humanoid sightings as a young girl. So it's within my family. But at any rate, I'm driving home from their house in Woodland Hills late at night and had just left their house on my way to my condominium complex just, I don't know, 5 miles away. This is in Southern California. And this little, well, I first thought it was a bird swooping towards my car, but looking up, I could instantly see it wasn't. It was glowing. And it was round. I thought, well, maybe this is a firecracker because, you know, it's late July and people were still shooting out fireworks. But it wasn't. This little ball of light, about the size of a golf ball, dropped down from about, when I first saw it, was at least 200-300 feet up to the right, came swooping down on a parabola. Darn thing stops right in front of my windshield, over the hood of my car. It's about a foot away. Now, of course, I'm stopped. I'm gripping my steering wheel thinking, could this be a reflection? Even though it's clearly not, because it's so close. There's no doubt this is something. And it went back and forth two or three times, stopped again right in front of me to the point where, okay, this is intelligent, whatever this is, or intelligently controlled. And it swooped forward, kind of dipped down, almost scraped the asphalt, went straight up, through the canopy of trees. And the last thing I remember was just gripping my steering wheel and watching this thing disappear. And that's it. And I always told people, well, that's my sighting, until I realized, you know what, I don't remember driving home. And in fact, I forgot the whole darn incident. It was completely wiped from my mind for about some months, less than a year. But at some point, I remembered that, just spontaneously popped into my head. So now I know what it's like when contactees say, well, I had a UFO land in front of me on the highway, but none of us talked about it. In fact, we completely forgot about it. I would always just like, how could you possibly forget something like this? Well, now I know, because it happened to me. I do believe I had missing time.
What spurred you to remember what happened?
You know, I don't know. It just popped into my head one day. Having talked to a lot of people, there often is a cue. They'll see something like a bald mannequin and remember seeing grays, or see a bright light in the sky, or what have you. There's a very famous case of a lady who was watching Escape to Witch Mountain, and there's a scene in there where the RV starts floating up into the air. Well, she instantly remembered her trip to her mom's house where the car started floating up with her sisters in it. And that's how she recalled, you know, her missing time encounter. Well, she remembered having missing time, but this is what I would call a cue. One gentleman I interviewed just walked into a bookstore, saw Ed Ruppelt's book, UFO. And that's when he remembered seeing a UFO at a drive-in theater. So this, yeah, it's not uncommon that there's some sort of cue, or if people might not remember at all. I mean, Bud Hopkins had a case there where he hypnotized somebody, Michael Burchard was his name, who had no real clue other than a deep phobia or anxiety of a certain stretch of highway. So it's entirely possible that you, Gene, have had encounters, but it's just floating under the radar there.
Well, I'll tell you a couple of things about me. When I was between 8 and 10 years old, I had these recurring dreams of this large, dark object racing towards me, and I wake up in a cold sweat. This went on for a year or two, and then it was gone. Then around that time, I would smell the infamous burnt sulfur odor around my neighborhood. Maybe it was sinuses. I have no idea. Then it was gone around the same time. On the other hand, I have very serious qualms about hypnotic regression and about the accuracy. I think the evidence is not quite there about how good it is. In limited circumstances, such as giving somebody a hypnotic suggestion to modify their behavior or for entertainment purposes, it might have value. But remembering what happened last week or last year or when you were a child, I don't know.
Yeah, well, I agree that in the wrong hands can be easily abused. There's many studies that show this. But there's an equal number of studies that show it to be a valid tool. And the fact is, accounts recalled under hypnosis match very closely what people recall consciously. And these are people who are not aware of these other reports. Often people who have these experiences do not read UFO books, stay away from anything related to this subject because it scares them. And then they start recalling all these things, all these details that UFO researchers know very well, like what the inside of a UFO looks like, and not just the round room and the indirect lighting and clean surfaces and things like this, but other little details like the table or the chair or the tools or the clothes worn by the ETs or what they say. I mean, there's a lot of little details that are very consistent in these reports. And I would mention there was a show called Mythbusters. Don't know if you remember that show, but they would test various theories and either debunk them or confirm them. And they decided to tackle regressive hypnosis and staged an incident for their staff where a gentleman came running into the office and created a scene. And afterwards, they said, okay, this was actually a setup. I want all of you, there was I think three or four people who were the control group, asked them all to write down exactly what happened. Who came in, what color his hair was, his clothes, did he have tattoos, what color was his eyes, and so forth. And they wrote down everything they could remember. And mind you, this is immediately after the incident. Then they went under regressive hypnosis, and darned if it didn't work, they were able to get almost twice the detail. Little tiny things, you know, the tattoos and other stuff that they could not remember. And there's other cases. I mean, the Chowchilla kidnapping is a good example. The witness could not remember the license plate consciously, but under hypnosis did. And it led to them finding those kids. So it does work, but it also, you know, I will say that there are many studies which have shown it to create false memories. So I think you have to be very careful, and it should be done only by a person who's experienced and not going to lead the witness.
I would think also that in choosing whether to undergo this kind of treatment or therapy, if you were, for example, to go to someone who specializes in UFO abductions, by the act of going there, you're prejudging what you might have experienced.
Yeah, I think it's an absolute danger. That's why I like the case I cited, because they weren't going there for that. They were going to overcome insomnia and quit smoking. So that was the last thing they expected to recall. Yeah, I mean, I absolutely agree. This is something that I think we have to be very careful with. And if you talk to a lot of UFO researchers, they're perfectly aware of this. I've talked extensively with people like Yvonne Smith and Barbara Lamb, and I did talk with Bud Hopkins about it as well prior to his passing. I absolutely do think that it does work. However, personally, because people often ask me, you know, should I go under hypnosis? I don't recommend it unless a person is having severe anxiety to the point where it's affecting their daily life.
We've got plenty to talk about with Preston. With Gene and Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on this special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Donald Trump warned America. The U.S. dollar is under attack, and it's becoming less and less valuable by the day. Hyperinflation and speculation is killing your retirement. Don't leave your money sitting in cash. It's time you diversified and protected your future with physical precious metals. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and get your free digital dollar survival kit and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver today. Call Advantage Gold now at 800-900-8000 to get your free digital dollar survival kit. And you may qualify for $1,000 in free silver. Advantage Gold is the number one rated gold and silver company in America. Your future is precious. Protect it today when you call Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000 now.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
That's 800-900-8000.
It's obvious. The unthinkable is going to happen soon. With all the distractions in the media, we probably won't see it coming. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Those in charge say everything's fine. Stop noticing. But you know better. American families are preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling three-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25%, plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship the same day. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCMteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
I know we've had Kevin Randall on the show talking about the flaws of hypnotic regression. Our guest last week, Dr. Tim Brigham, a clinical psychologist, said except for limited circumstances, he does not recommend it at all.
Yeah, and I think if someone is, if they're dead set on it, okay, fine. But just bear in mind that there are dangers of false memory syndrome and making up stuff and this going the wrong direction. It could open up a can of worms, too. It's not at all unusual for people to try to explore one incident and then suddenly be taken back to another event in their childhood that they perhaps never were able to explain. And before you go under hypnosis, and I would talk to anyone who's considering this, first, write everything down that you've experienced. Because it's easy to conflate what you remembered through hypnosis with what you consciously remembered. You don't want to confuse the two. Write everything down. It can be very helpful to keep events straight. It's also very therapeutic. And also, I would recommend meditating, because that can be an effective tool. It's very close to hypnosis, but it's not hypnosis because you're not being led. You are just meditating. And for that matter, ask for recall in dreams. And I know there's been a lot of controversy even what dreams are, but I would point to the Betty and Barney Hill case. Betty Hill remembered almost the entirety of her experience in the dream state, later did go under hypnosis, and her dream recall was far more extensive than what she recalled under hypnosis. And they were virtually identical in most of the details. So I think dreams alone can be very effective in bringing back memories. And we know this because this works in other fields, such as war trauma victims or victims of child abuse or anyone who has repressed memories due to trauma. So, yeah, I think that is what I would recommend. But I support hypnosis. I think it works, but only in the right hands.
What about your own experience? Have you tried to delve a little deeper into what happened with you?
I have remembered some stuff through dreams. I have not gone under hypnosis. I'm kind of just want to wait till it comes back to me. And at this point, I'm not sure that it really has. I've had a number of very close-up sightings. I did have a sighting where there was absolute telepathic message that came at me very loud and clear from presumably the ETs. So, yeah, a good number of sightings, actually, which were quite close. But no, I have not gone under hypnosis to explore that missing time incident. For the reasons you state, I'm a little wary of it.
okay, I got to hear about that experience where you said that you had a possible telepathic back and forth.
Yeah.
Did you care to share that one?
Sure, yeah. It knocked me over, I can tell you that, because I had never experienced anything like that. That was around 1994 or so. And I had interviewed this lady, who I'll call Wendy. She's a contactee. Was having major encounters. She was probably my biggest case to date in terms of someone who's being taken on board, having hybrid babies. She had a healing. She was healed of a cyst in her fallopian tubes. It was a really remarkable case. But there was one incident she described that kind of made me scratch my head, where she said Gray surrounded her bed. She jumped up and kicked one in the neck. Its neck snapped. She thinks she may have killed it. It did stop the experience. The other Grays there scooped up their fallen comrade, disappeared through the wall as they do, and she felt bad afterwards, even though she was not happy with her encounters at that point. And I thought to myself, huh, no, I've not heard of this. The only thing that was remotely similar was Travis Walton reaching out and slugging one of these guys. So I'm thinking to myself, is this lady telling the truth? I think she is. She's very sincere. She's showing all the markers. You know, she's absolutely honest person, had corroborating witnesses, references, and so forth. But it was a lot to wrap my head around. And as I'm transcribing that particular segment, because I record all my interviews, I leaned back in my chair and got this overwhelming impulse to run out under the roof of my condominium complex in Canoga Park, Southern California, and I could not resist the impulse. And before I knew it, I grabbed my glasses, which I use for driving. I don't need them legally, but for whatever reason, I grabbed them, ran out. I was on the third story, so it's just one flight of stairs up to the roof, which is off limits. I don't go up there. I'm a good boy. But I did. I broke the rules and went onto the roof of the condo. I have to tell you, I wasn't up there more than 10 or 20 seconds when a classic UFO appeared. It was to the north, 200 feet away, maybe 300. There's a tiny little parking lot of two spaces wide, the LA River there, and the street across the way. And right over the apartment building was this bright orange-white oval light, kind of fiery. Pretty big, I would say 20 feet across, and maybe tops 100 feet up, 50 feet up. I mean, it was right over the apartment building. And as soon as it appeared, it blasted me with this, honest to God, this telepathic message that wasn't in English so much, or words even, but it was clear enough. I got the message loud and clear, and it said, "Hi, we're Wendy's ETs. It's us. We're real. You don't believe? Well, watch this." And this darn thing, which had been hovering in kind of a wavering way, darted to the left, to the right, to the left, to the right, to the left, to the right, started getting lower and lower, crisscrossed about 10 or 20 times, and winked out. So, yeah, that was the message I got. It was clear to me that they had come to affirm Wendy's story, that she was for real, that they were for real. And, yeah, I got the message. I called her up and said, "You're not going to believe what happened."
You probably knew why you were calling them.
Well, it's funny because, you know, I'd like, you're not, you know, this happened. They said you're for real. I'd really like to see a UFO, you know, closer. She's like, "Well, you just saw one." I said, "Well, yeah, but I wasn't ready." She says, because she said she was in mental contact with them. I said, "If you're truly in mental contact with them, can you call them down?" She says, "Well, I can try." And she called me up a week or two later and said, "Okay, they agreed to give you another display." And even then, I'm thinking, yeah, sure, because I've done this before. I've gone out with contactees, and, of course, nothing ever shows up. But I went out with her, my sister-in-law, and my nephew, who was, gosh, must have been about 13, 14 years old. And all four of us parked off the 210 freeway in Pasadena near La Latuna Canyon. It's a fairly remote area, but it's a freeway. So this is at night, 9 o'clock or so. And we parked right on the freeway, right off the freeway, which is not really legal. But this is where Wendy said they would appear. And there was this little fire break, a dirt road, going up this fairly large hill, not quite a mountain, but certainly bigger than a small hill. It was a good 20, 30-minute hike up to the top of it. And my nephew James and my sister-in-law Christy had fallen behind. So it was just me and Wendy. We reached the top, and we're trying to catch our breath and orient ourselves, because she says, well, this is where they said they would appear. And she screams. She's looking over my shoulder. She grabs me by the shoulders and spins me around. And about 50 feet away is this enormous golden sphere, about the size of a house. It's maybe 20 feet off the ground. It's beautiful. I mean, this thing was exquisite. It was covered with golden lights. I can't say I saw a metallic surface or anything, but definitely a perfect sphere. Silent, not a natural phenomenon by any means. And we just stared at it absolutely in awe. Now, I did have a camera, but I couldn't take my eyes off the darn thing. I completely forgot about the camera. I was that awestruck. And it stayed there for about 20 seconds, started to move very slowly, drifting away, then a little bit faster, 10 miles an hour, and then it zipped away about 2 or 3 miles around the mountain, so fast it left a tracer.
Hey, we've got to trace more stuff here. With Preston, Gene, and Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you love reading about the mysteries of the universe? Do you wonder what secrets are hidden in the shadows of our own planet? If so, you won't want to miss these two amazing books by Tim R. Swartz and Sean Castile. In Mimics, The Others Among Us, you'll explore the world of the mimics of man, beings that can look like us but are not. They've been among us since the beginning of history, hiding in plain sight, influencing our culture in ways we can scarcely imagine. In Alien Artifacts, Incredible Evidence of Exotic Material from UFO Encounters, you'll discover the so-called hard evidence of UFOs that's been available for study this entire time, but for the most part has been ignored. These two books will open your eyes to a hidden reality that has been right in front of our eyes all along. That's Mimics, The Others Among Us, and Alien Artifacts, Incredible Evidence of Exotic Material from UFO Encounters by Tim R. Swartz and Sean Castile. Available now on Amazon.com.
Hey, y'all, Jeff Foxworthy here. Now, if you've ever found yourself repeating the same thing over and over for 75 years, you might be Smokey Bear.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
That's why I'm filling in for Smokey to switch things up, because there's a lot more to say. And I should know, because my grandfather was a firefighter. And one of the things he taught me is that the people that love the outdoors the most are often the ones accidentally starting wildfires. Which means always BYOB. No, bring your own bucket to the campfire. And be extra careful with things like burning yard trimmings. Don't just walk away, or chances are you might be starting a wildfire. So for the love of the outdoors, go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.